Father, as we were standing just now and singing, it just, you impressed my heart with what a good work you're doing among us in these days. We give you the glory. Father, to reach literally around the world in so many places, Father, is an honor, yet it thrills our heart that the gospel is going forth. And we thank you, Father, for those who give their lives just to take the gospel to those who are yet to believe. And then, Father, to know and to see the lives of people here who serve so readily. Father, the work of the ministry here is done by your people, and we give you the praise for that. But people just continue to step up and pick up the burden that you have given them and to serve. But Father, there's also a heaviness on us this morning. I can't think of a Sunday in a long time when we've had more people with more crises in their lives. Most of them, Father, is of a physical nature. We have those who are undergoing surgery this week, Father, and I just pray for that one that you would restore the thrill of hearing in his life. Father, there were more than a few that shared this morning of reports from doctors about cancer. The word that sends fear through our lives, Father, yet it's so often attacking some of our people. And for those who have got those reports this week, Father, I just pray you'd come close to them and reassure them, Father, that this is a serious issue for sure, but you're on their side. And I pray that you would give peace and healing and mercy and grace in their life. Then, Father, we think of a family in our community that lost a loved one this week. Pray for the Kiefer family, Father, a family that many of us know and have known through the years. And we just pray for this time, Father, as they grieve the passing of Suzanne, and that you would just come close to the family. And thank you for her life. Thank you for her testimony. Thank you, Father, for the grace that you gave her to go be with you. So, Father, hear our prayer this morning and now take us to your word and let us hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning is not the sermon that you want to preach before you ask to take up an offering, okay? We're going to look at taming the tongue this morning as we study through the book of James. We're in chapter 3. And so let me read these verses, beginning with verse 1 in James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great is a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessings and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth both from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This teaching this morning probably has application to all of us. So I don't want you to look to the person to the right or the left or that family member or that person that gave you a hard time this week or something like that. But folks, take this teaching this morning to your heart. In chapter 3, as you could tell from reading the passage, James deals with taming the tongue. Taming the tongue is one of the greatest challenges that any of us face in this life. In fact, most believers excuse or ignore the sins of the tongue. There's these really bad sins out there, and I don't do those. But, you know, I do have a problem with my tongue, and we'll get into all the nuances of that in just a minute. But that's not really as bad as the rest of those. The Holy Spirit would tend to disagree with that. Because the sins of the tongue, folks, are reflections of the heart. And as those reflections of the heart come to pass, all of those other vile things are in the waiting. The tongue is a key indicator of who you are in Christ. So we're going to deal with three questions this morning. And the first one we're going to deal with is, why do we say what we say? You ever thought about that? We spend a lot of time talking. We talk on the phone. And texting fits into this, by the way. All right? That's talking. All right? So why do we say what we say? Let's back up and get some foundations here, okay? God created us in His image and after His likeness, human beings. And as human beings, we are a triune human being. Just as God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So He created us as a triune being with a body, a soul, and a spirit. So this morning you are a triune being. The soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And it's in our soul, in our mind, where we control what we say. In turn, our soul, our mind, will, and emotions is controlled by our spirit. Now, everyone in this room has one of two spirits. You have the spirit that you were born with, which is the spirit of the enemy, because Adam sinned, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we are born with that Adamic nature, the nature of Adam. And we sin by nature. So that's you this morning. Or if you have been born again, then you have a new spirit. Now you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the old man, that old nature, has been put to death. So everyone in this room this morning fits into one of those two categories. You're either controlled by the Holy Spirit or you're controlled by that old nature, the nature you were born with, that nature of sin. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, you have a renewed mind, not the old mind. You have a renewed mind. Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." I pray this morning that you have a new mind. That is all that really matters, folks. But if you're here this morning and you do not have a renewed mind, it's available today. And it's free. And so I challenge you this morning to be honest and answer the question, what kind of mind do I have? Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." You have the mind of Christ if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's a huge deal. That's no afterthought, folks. That's a big deal that you have the mind of Christ. And so all that Jesus did and was while he was here has been implanted in us. We have the mind of Christ. James 3, 5, and 6, the passage I just read, talks about the tongue. The tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. That is the tongue of the person who is yet to believe. Because if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a new tongue. And you cannot and will not practice the things of the tongue that you were born with. Now that's a startling statement, folks, and I know that some are drawing back at this point and you're running through your mind some things. By the way, let me just mention those as we go. The sins of the tongue. Let me just delineate these for us this morning. Colossians 3:9 deals with the sin of lying. Lying is a sin of the tongue. Lying is speaking something that's not true. And there's no white lies and other colored lies. Okay? A lie is a lie. A lie is to not speak the truth. James 4:11 tells us about slander. Slander is a sin of the tongue. Slander is damaging another person's reputation, either because you just don't like them, or you want to get what they've got, or whatever the reason, you slander a person, damage another person's reputation by what you say to somebody else about them. Then there's gossip. Gossip is spreading information about another person, 1 Timothy 5:13 tells us. Gossip is followed by stirring up strife. These are all sins of the tongue now. Proverbs 16:18 talks about those who stir up strife. You ever been around those kind of people? They just like to have something boiling all the time. And they're always going behind the scenes kind of and whispering and talking and just to stir up strife. Then flattery. This one doesn't seem to fit with the others, but flattery is a sin of the tongue as well, Proverbs 29:5 tells us. Flattery is insincere praise for selfish gain. The kids used to call this kissing up. That's a sin, folks. That's a sin. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. You don't kiss up to get something from a person you're trying to impress. So you flatter them, telling them how you like their dress or their shirt or whatever it is. Okay? The list goes on. James 4:16 tells us that boasting and arrogant speech are also sins of the tongue. Exodus 27 deals with blasphemy. Blasphemy is dishonoring God. Anything that would dishonor him fills the bill for this sin. Jokes that you may tell or listen to. If somebody starts to tell you a joke that impinges the character of God, stop them and say, "You tell your story somewhere else. I don't want to hear it." That's the That's your God, the one that sent his son to die for your sins, and you're going to stand there and listen to some off-color joke about the God of this universe? Profanity and corrupt speech. Ephesians 4:29. Another found in 2 Timothy 2:23 through 24 is quarrelsome and contentious speech. And then James 3:9 through 10 deals with cursing and reviling, criticizing other people. Matthew 12:36 deals with idle, careless talk. And 2 Peter 2:1 with false teaching. Folks, this is a long list. Did you check off on any of those? As you inventory your speech life, are any of these an issue in your life? The Holy Spirit is telling you that right now, if they are. You see, a person's speech reveals the condition of our soul and spirit. That's why this is such a big deal, taming the tongue. Because what we say reveals the condition of our soul and spirit. Lost people talk like lost people. And lost people readily and habitually commit the sins of the tongue that I've just mentioned. So I hope you're connecting the dots here. If these speech issues are problems in your life, where's the evidence that you're born again? Because every day you're saying and doing these kind of things. Folks, it's an indication of the fact that you are yet to believe. New creations in Christ Jesus talks like God talks. Philippians 4:8 tells us, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report and honest. That's the descriptions of the person who is a new creature in Christ Jesus. So why do we say what we say? We say what we say because of who we are. You get it? And you can't hide it. You can't mask it. Second this morning, the second question, what effect does what we say have on others? What effect does what we say have on others? Again, let me read back on James 3:5 and 3:6. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And then the sixth verse that follows that. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, parts of the body, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. Every person either has a new mind in Christ Jesus or a mind that is set on fire by hell. Stark contrast, but that's the way God sees this. We either have the mind of Christ or we have a mind that is set on fire by hell. The tongue can destroy, just like a fire destroys. The tongue can damage people's lives irreparably in some cases. Folks, dead people don't talk about themselves and damage others. That's one of the indicators that you can draw up beside your life if you're wondering if this applies to you today. Dead people, don't talk about themselves. Now, if you are a dead person, that means that you have denied self and died to self and followed Jesus. And dead people don't talk about themselves. Used to, back in the days when I was growing up, that was a social faux pas or whatever they call those things. You just didn't do it. I mean, you get backhanded by your mom. If she caught you talking about yourself, you just didn't do it. How times have changed. And oh, the devil had a plan in his repertoire. He came up with that little thing you're holding in your hand probably right now. I pray you're looking at the scripture and not texting. Okay? But folks, that is a narcissistic tool if there ever was one. You tell other people what you're doing all the time. You're not really interested in what they're telling you because you want to get around to what you're telling them. And I'm going here and I'm doing this and I got this and all in all, just constantly bombarding the airwaves with what you're doing. Dead people don't talk about themselves. And if you are in Christ Jesus, you're a dead people. You have denied self and died to self, and you follow Jesus. So don't throw your phones away, but rather use it as a missionary outlet. And talk about Jesus when you're texting people. Tell them about the church service and the missionary report that we talk about him. Don't talk about yourself, because really that other person's not interested in you. They're just waiting to get around to tell you about themselves. Dead people don't talk about themselves, and dead people don't damage other people verbally. Those who have died to self spread the gospel to others. Those who have died to self don't blaspheme God and other people. And again, they don't brag about who they are and what they've done. You see, what we say is the reflection of our soul and spirit. That's where it comes from. The tongue gets the blame, but the tongue is just the instrument. That voice is what's going on in our heart and in our soul. Our mouth speaks what dominates our mind and our will and our emotions. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. And what our mouth is doing is speaking those things that are in there. Our mind, will, and emotions then are controlled by our spirit. And remember, that's either a new spirit in Christ Jesus, or it's the old nature, the Adamic nature that you were born with. Listen to yourself. It will tell you who you are and whose you are in Christ. What we say then verifies who we are. And we're either a follower of Jesus Christ or we're a sinner bound for an eternity in hell. I know this is strong this morning, folks, but we've got to get a handle on this. We've got to get a handle on this, especially those of us who are followers of Christ Jesus. And we've got to hold each other accountable on what comes out of our mouth and what we say. And please, be quick to correct each other. When they say something that you know is not of God, call us out. We need that. Our tongue is a powerful instrument. It can be used for good and it can be used for evil. And what we say impacts others. Rather than saying what you want to say to a person, pray for them. And don't say that hurtful thing. Or don't try to get back even with them. And if they say something to you that is not helpful, is not kind, it's not encouraging, don't respond. We can control the tongue if we're in Christ Jesus, because what we say impacts others. What we say can encourage and help and minister to others, or can harm and destroy and depress others. And while I'm here, if I could use just a sidebar, another use of the tongue. Be careful about giving advice to each other. Really. You say, well, I'm just trying to be helpful. Now hold it, okay? Let me get into this a little more. Be careful about using the tongue to give advice to others. You say, well, what am I supposed to do if somebody comes, maybe one of my kids asks me, what am I supposed to say? Let me give you a little help here, okay? Don't answer for them, because then you own that and they know it and they blame you if it doesn't work, all right? So don't give advice, but instead use questions. Questions are powerful. Your child or somebody at work or something comes and asks you a question as to what they should do. Respond with a question. Do you think that's a good idea? You're asking them. Or what's going to happen if you do that? And put it back on them, because they need to own the situation. They're responsible, you're not. But if you step up and become some big deal and give them this sagely advice, when it doesn't work, you get the blame. And you'll probably lose a friend or a child that doesn't trust you anymore. You see, questions force a person to own their own issues. And it prevents them from blaming somebody else if it doesn't go the way they want it to. While we're there, just as a side, isn't it so easy to get somebody else to solve our problems for us? We're always looking for somebody to solve our problems. Folks, own your problems, whatever those are. Don't go looking for somebody else to solve the problems that you have, whatever they may be. Now, I know this is cutting against the grain a little bit, but folks, we need to be accountable. We have everybody else to blame. It's the government, or it's the church, or it's the people. Somebody's always... We don't take responsibility because we're so egocentric. I can't be wrong because it's my idea. So don't let folks dump their problems on you and then blame you because you gave them advice as to what they should do and it didn't work. Seek God's wisdom and quote His word at best. If you are confronting a person or they're confronting you and asking these questions, know the word so well that you can quote the scripture to them specific to that issue. And now you don't own their problem, but you have told them somebody that can solve their problem. And His wisdom and His word are true. Finally, this morning, the last question, actually two questions. What should we say and what should we not say with this tongue? Verse 8 again says, no human being can tame the tongue. And that's true. It's never been done. No person can tame the tongue. Those who are not born again commit the sins of the tongue naturally. Listen, I was tuned into this, and it really brought me to the place to pay attention to what people are saying. Whether it's in person or whether it's on television or podcasts or where, pay attention to what people are saying. Those who are lost, first, don't listen to them. Those who are not born again commit those sins of the tongue naturally that we looked at just a minute ago. And lost people have little desire to control what they say. The scripture is very clear, folks. Our speech should be yes, yes, and no, no. We spend more time listening than we do talking. And we don't talk just to talk. All of those are a tongue that is running away. Those who are new creations in Christ Jesus are empowered to control the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because Jesus Christ became our Lord and Savior, and we were filled with the Holy Spirit when we were saved, we are equipped to deal with anything the world brings. And because the Holy Spirit lives in us, we are equipped to deal with the tongue. Verse 9 again, with it, the tongue, we bless the Lord. We don't curse people who are made in the image and likeness of God. If you've got a mat on this morning against someone, would you get over it before you leave? If you've got something in your craw about somebody that didn't do something or did do something, maybe in this room, maybe somebody that you just came from, or maybe somewhere you're going this week on the job or whatever, quit playing those mental gymnastics that are so familiar. Well, I'm going to tell them this, and they're going to say that, and, you know, going through that whole repertoire. Folks, that's not the mind of Christ. If we're new creations in Christ, then we have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5 tells us. We don't and won't use our tongue for evil. Thank you for asking, what's that? Gossip is evil. Gossip is a sin of the tongue, and it is evil. Blaspheming is cutting somebody down or saying untrue things or those kind of things. Just really having one of those battles and you win it with your mouth. Lying is a sin of the tongue. Cursing is. Cursing. What is that? Well, I'm sure the things that you would bring up to say it is not something that you're doing. But folks, cursing is anything that can be construed in any way to be foul or vulgar or hurtful to a person. Another one is condemnation. Condemnation is a sin of the tongue because we're condemning somebody that God created in His image and after His likeness. Actually, we can't and we won't have a problem in any of those areas if we have a new spirit and a new mind. If you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, folks, these things cannot be a part of your life, these sins of the tongue. The easiest way to know if a person is born again is just to listen to them. That'll tell you. And I would suggest you listen to them before you ask them. And then you'll know, you know, if you just listen to them. And then you ask them, are you a follower of Christ? And if they say yes, then you got to say, well, can you justify what I just heard here? Because you see, folks, who we are is echoed in and through our tongue, our mouth, our words. It's a big deal. If you hear cursing and dirty jokes and condemnation of others and blasphemy and gossip and complaining, you're hearing from a person who is not a new creation in Christ Jesus. Just cut to the chase. If all of those things are coming forth out of a person's mouth that is not a follower of Christ Jesus, I don't care what church they say they belong to or anything like that, our tongue reveals who we are. A person who's controlled by the sinful nature and not that new creation in Christ Jesus. Some of you may know this story. If you look across the ocean back toward Europe, there's an island out there, okay? We call it the United Kingdom today. But it was, and still is in some degree, several countries actually. You have England, then you have Wales to the west of England. Then you have Northern Ireland and Ireland and Scotland. All of that combined is called the United Kingdom. Well, I want us to focus on whales just for a minute. In 1904 and 1905, the Great Welsh Revival took place. Now, in those days, those are the days of some of the great evangelists of our nation and the world, and especially England. And so many of the great evangelists and there was an awakening happening in many different places. But in this great Welsh revival of 1904 and 1905, just thousands of people came to Christ. I mean, it was a true awakening. And the people of Wales changed. Now, there's a lot of, in those days, a lot of coal miners in Wales, Welsh coal miners. And they were a part of this revival. And it was so dramatic, the thing that happened when Christ Jesus touched their life and they were born again. Their language changed. Now, these are rough, hard-shackled coal miners who spent their days in the back of a coal mine, picking out coal and shoveling it into a cart. And in 1904 and 5, it was not mechanized, so they had to have horses to pull the loads of coal out of the mine. Well, these miners had come to Christ, and their language changed. And the coal mining came to a standstill because the horses could no longer understand the miners. Now, that's a true story, but folks, it's a story that's applicable because people know us by how we talk. And people know us by what comes out of our mouth. Oh, I pray that you have met Christ. And if you have met Christ, let's talk for a while and see. Some questions to close. Do you steer every conversation you have to your Lord and Savior? Every conversation you have, do you turn it to your Lord and Savior, hopefully sooner rather than later in that conversation? Do those you talk to know you are a Christ follower just by what you say? And most of the time they'll ask you, are you a churchgoer, they might say, or sometimes it may be more sophisticated than that, but they know there's what they're saying is, I see something about you that's different. Do you have people asking you that often? Do those you talk to know you're a Christ follower by what you say? Is there anything that you would not say if Jesus was the third person in the conversation? Is there anything that you would not say if he was standing there, and he is, as a third person in the conversation? Is profanity an issue in your life? You have to answer that, and you know it, and the people you talk to know it. Is profanity an issue in your life? How many curse words do you say in a day, or maybe a week? What happens when something doesn't go the way that you want it to go? What is your response? Is it to get mad and start cursing? Is it to blame somebody else? Let me give you something to try on for size. When that thing goes wrong that you can't have go wrong, stop and say, Lord, I know you're teaching me something with this. Let me see what you're saying. You say, you can never do that. Oh, yes, you can. And a follower of Christ will do that. Do you pray, or do you curse and blame when others treat you wrong? Do you like to gossip and criticize and ridicule others? Is that a sport that you like to engage yourself in? Do people see you as arrogant and boastful? Everybody has an opinion of everybody else, spending just a little time. And do the people that are around you see you as arrogant and boastful? This one's going to sting. Can you tell a little lie? Amen. You hear that guy over here? I see who's sitting beside him on that side. Can you tell a lie if it gets you that business deal closed? Or can you shade the truth a little bit just so you make the sale? Are those possibilities in your life? Folks, your tongue reflects who you are and what's on your mind as it does me. Our mind is either controlled by the Holy Spirit who lives in us or by our flesh. And the tongue quickly informs us and others as to who's in control. So I want you to be challenged this morning to use your tongue for good purposes, like repenting of your sins, like trusting in Christ, and speak it out loud when you do. Speak it out loud. And speak the language of God, not the language of the world. And this may be the best thing that I can offer you today. Be challenged to wait on the Lord before you speak. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Only say what God is saying to you and not what you want to say. And folks, it is always better to say nothing than to speak and cause hurt or confusion in another person's life. So my challenge to us this morning is this. From this day forward, we must win this battle of the tongue. And from this day forward, work diligently on taming your tongue. It is better to say nothing than to say something that is going to hurt God or other people. Let's be diligent about that. Let's pray. Father, I can feel the resistance. I've felt it all week, actually, Father, concerning this teaching, because I knew that this was one thing that the enemy did not want to be spoken from this pulpit. And Father, I knew because the tongue is so much a challenge in our lives. Lord, I see in your scripture where it says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Plain spoken. Father, if we're going to say something, let's quote your word to the situation or the individual. Oh, Father, please bring conviction on our lives this morning. At any point that we are guilty of not taming the tongue, please, Lord, come close and speak to us on an individual basis. Bring these words back to our minds throughout the week. We give you the glory this morning for being honest with us. Thank you, Father, for these who have come to hear your words. Let us go forth and practice them, I pray, in Jesus' name.